How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to That Meal Podcast. I hope you're doing well. My name's Omer. Joining me, as always, is Mr. Mickey Simpson. Hello, pal. You right?
Yes, mate. I'm all good. Yeah, a bit delicate from yesterday, but all good.
Yeah, I think if people
can see... Not as delicate as you, but I'm all right.
The joys of putting my face on camera, I feel really delicate today. I am definitely hungover, but, mate, we all won 2-1 yesterday at home to Blackpool. Our first win of the season. Great win, mate. And I think, obviously, we'll talk about it in the show today, but just relief to get over the line, isn't it, mate? I think we needed that. And obviously, for us, hopefully, we can get a chance to kick on now, really.
Yeah, fingers crossed we can. We're going to the international break now with a bit of positivity and hopefully kick on. But, yeah, I think it's definitely papered over the cracks. There are some issues, but again, we'll address those when we get into the show. So hit the button.
We'll go into part one now then. And welcome to part number one of the show. I mean, to be honest with you, Mickey, I think this will be the only part of the show because we're just going to talk in length about Mill getting a fucking win, mate. I'm buzzing on 2-1 win yesterday, 3 points. I'm stumbling my words. Everyone's happy, right?
Everyone's happy. If you want to see the happiness on Omar's face, go on the YouTube channel and see the video we posted yesterday. It is a bit roughly put together because we were at the ground and we'd done the edit on foot after plenty of beers. So we do apologise on that. But look, you know, we thought you wanted it straight out, so we put it straight out. But you can see there's a few extra bits in there. There's the free kick in there from Colbelow Lane angle. And there's the bit at the end. So there's a bit of crowd in there. And also you get to see Omar screaming and cheering and everything else. So, yeah, it was a good day. It was an interesting day. And it had everything what football should have. It had the atmosphere, the annoyance, the disappointment, the pissed off, the fuck-ups. You know, changes which should have been made at 30, 35 minutes weren't made till fucking 50, 60 minutes. It was just, you know, it's the Millwall we love. And we go watch week in, week out. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, mate. I mean, obviously, you know, let's talk about it. In the team news, obviously, Matt Smith was in. He went for more of a kind of three man up top.
What we wanted, didn't he?
Yeah.
We wanted a Fabian Smith up front. He's put him in. But then he starts playing lob balls.
Well, cause that's obviously because you've got Smith up there as a target man, haven't you? But obviously, he went with Smith and Jed and a Fabian up front. Kind of Fabian picking up on the left-hand side, Jed on the right, Smith up front. Midfield was obviously Keith Nobel and Saville. Mitchell was playing right wing back with Malone left wing back. Ballard, Wallace and Cooper at the back with Bielkowski in goal. Mate, I mean, obviously, the red card comes early. It was Connolly sent off for Blackpool. And I think it was kind of the worst nightmare for us in a sense because obviously they just knew they had to kind of, you know, defend, gut the backs against the wall. But also the pressure's on us in that way kind of to get the result, I felt like. And yeah, first half was a bit of a kind of a dead rubber, really. Weren't much to it, was there?
No. And as soon as they lost their man, they just, you know, they looked as if they were taking it to us to a degree. But as soon as they lost their man, they just sat back and wanted to try and break on the attack, you know, kept going for the counter. And we were too defensive, really. We didn't have enough people to punish him for that. He should have made a change earlier than what he did. But, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. And also, you know, it's all right, us armchair critics sitting here going, well, he should have done this, should have done that. We don't know what the players can and can't do. We don't know, you know, how fit the players are, whether or not they got the legs for, you know, 60, 70 minutes changing them early. So he does what he does and he's got to live and die by that sword. But, yeah, I think things need to change going forward. We need to play some more attacking football. I think we've got the players there to get the balls in and have a go, but I just think it's one of those that if we're attacking more, then maybe we might put more away. But trying to lob the balls up is just reminiscence of Harris in his last few weeks. Do you know what I mean? It's just that that fucking lob ball mentality, and it doesn't work with Millwall. It's never worked with Millwall. I reckon we could have 8-foot strikers, and it still wouldn't work with Millwall.
I think, in reality, though, mate, I mean, the red card comes from a long ball. Smith flicks it on, and Fobie's there. And to be honest, if Fobie's through on goal, you'd back him to score it.
Yeah.
I know it's not pretty on the eye, but I think we kind of needed that kind of performance yesterday where, like, we were just up and at him. And I don't think it was the greatest of performances. Obviously, that, like I said, that, you know, the red card killed it for Millwall in the first half. We didn't have much going forward. I think, you know, Fobi had a good effort towards the end of the half. And aside from that, there was nothing really about it. I agree with you about changes because obviously, you know, they're down to 10 men. And also, we've got three central defenders on the pitch. He kind of needs to mix things up a little bit and go a bit more for the gung-ho. He goes for a back four, obviously, after a while. I think he brings on Mahoney, doesn't he, around the 55-minute mark. And obviously,
57, I think it was, but yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, around that time anyway. But Mahoney comes on. We go to back four. Ballard right back. Wallace and Cooper at the back with Malone left back. And I think it made a big difference, didn't it? You know, it was kind of more kind of going for the game, really, wasn't it? And obviously, we went 1-0 down. But, you know, thankfully, we kind of pulled it around, mate.
Yeah. I think Bart fucked up their goal. I think it shouldn't have been their goal. I think if he'd have managed to keep hold of it, maybe he needs a new pair of gloves, you know, a bit more sticky on there or something. Do you know what I mean? Needs to be like the old cartoon. Needs to stick him in that vat of glue first. Because it was literally a fumble. We were right there in front of it. We saw it probably about 10 foot in front of us. So if he had caught hold of that, that wouldn't have been a goal. It was just literally the player who tried to jump in with him. He just managed to get another foot, kick it back out in front of the goal. And then the other player just slots it in and Bart was well off position. These things happen. But to be fair, that's probably the last fuck up like that was probably Martin, where he allegedly decided to throw it in his own goal against Brighton on the FA Cup. And then he fucked off to Vermin across the river. So, you know, it is what it is. You can't change it. It is what it is. It's happened. But luckily enough, we went on and got two more goals. Jed's reminisce of 2016 free kick against Blackpool, same position pretty much. This time he sticks it top corner. Mm-hmm. And then Jake scoring, which I know for a few pals of mine, he's won him a few quid. They always bet on Jake to score every game. And I keep saying Jake to score every game. But, you know, there are quite a few Millwall fans out there who put, you know, a 5 or 10 on him. And he's always at least 10 to 12 to 1 to score every game. So, you know, once he does score, it's worthwhile. A couple of times a year, you'll get a result. So, yeah.
He's definitely a good value, isn't he? I think, obviously, to kind of go for a goal, obviously, set-piece threat, as always. It was great for him to get a goal, because obviously he struggled last week against Cardiff. And I think, you know, yesterday was much better from him. I think their goal was a bit easy. You know, we kind of just kind of stood off him. I think he skipped past Keaton Bell, player, runs forward. Like you said, it's a fortunate kind of fumble, goes their way, 1-0. But yeah, mate, that free kick was top draw from Dredd, wasn't it? Like, we was begging for a moment where, like, we could have someone to count on. I think, you know, I feel like yesterday, a lot of it, I'm not going to be negative, but it feels like it papers over the cracks a little bit, I do have to say. Yeah, but we needed that win. We needed someone to stand up and make it count. And obviously, Jed, obviously, getting the goal with a free kick. And then a great assist, obviously, for Cooper's goal. I think, you know, just Jed highlights how important he is to this team, mate.
No, definitely. And I mean, you know, like Rout said in his post-match interview, you know, it's the pressure. You know, the fact that Jed put that there, knowing that whatever happened, he needed to score that to bring us back into the game. And the level of pressure and everything else, what must have been on him to score that, and the fact that he scored it in a class way that he did, and the fact that it reminisced exactly the same goal he scored against him in 2016, just shows really the level of skill that guy has. But I do believe that he's playing each game at the moment like it's his last game for us. Do you know what I mean? He's coming round, he's cheering the crowd, he's clapping the crowds and everything else. I just, you know, I can't wait for the 31st of August to stop, be done with. And then we know we've got him at least then till the summer transfer window or the January transfer window, haven't we? So at least then he can probably settle down, get into his football and then see what happens come January. But yeah, it does feel as if he's playing each game is possibly his last game for us and wants to go out on a bang. So what's that now with him? Is that 2-2, 3-3?
It's three goals in 5 games or whatever it is, isn't it? So, you know, obviously goal against QPR, goal against Blackburn and now goal yesterday and an assist, obviously. Yeah. Quickly trying to get towards these numbers of last season. If anything, if he keeps this up, mate, you know, you're right. I don't think he plays like it's his last game, but I do think, like, he is showing he's worth of the cause, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not just a case of, you know, he doesn't want to be here, he's not putting the effort in. He's 100% just honouring his contract to the minimum.
Oh, absolutely. He's honourable like that. Yeah, definitely. He's playing his contract and he's playing his football as best as he can. But you just see that, you know, the way he goes round afterwards and his passion and his enthusiasm for us. I mean, when he come right up to us, didn't he? Right up to the wall next to where we were sitting. And you could just see the passion in him. You know what I mean? Little Sam Burrows, it was chasing him with the, obviously doing the match content stuff for the club, was right behind him and then chasing him around the ground. But look, you again, you'll see him come up. It's on the match vlog, what Kai did for yesterday's game. And then both of us make a guest appearance at the end and the end of match part of that clip. So yeah, if you want to have a look at that and you're listening to on a podcast, you can see our gorgeous faces. We are on the YouTube channel too. So get on there and make sure you subscribe and tick the bell. I think that's what they say, isn't it?
That's it, mate. I think I'm just looking back at the game and thinking about it now. Like, there wasn't many standouts yesterday, mate. Like I said, don't want to be negative, but I do feel like we need that win, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like the amount of confidence we can hopefully take from that, like we were saying earlier, and like Raoul was saying, the pressure as well. You know, hopefully we take that kind of confidence into the next game. West Brom's going to be a tough one, obviously West Brom away, but I think it makes everyone happy going into this international break, knowing there's 2 weeks off, but also, you know, we've got that win to kind of get the hoodie off our back, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It's a nice relief going into that 2 week break, knowing that you've had the win. But again, it must be a piss of thinking we should have really. I mean, this was potentially an easy game to seal up. But I agree with Rao. I think we played better against Blackburn than we did against Blackpool, and Blackpool had 10 men. But you know, history proves itself. We are fucking dog shit at playing against teams with 10 men.
Yeah, well, at least we got the win, though, I suppose, isn't it? I think, you know, I'm thinking back, like, Saville, I thought he was all right yesterday, wasn't he? I thought we had a good game, but you didn't like him there?
I think potentially there's rumour that he had COVID, and I think that he's a few weeks behind the rest of the players on fitness. He doesn't look the player who he used to be. He doesn't seem to be able to get the ball and run with it that well. He just doesn't seem to be fit. And I'd put that down to, I'm not going to say that his skill levels have dropped, because I don't think they have. I would honestly say more so probably something around fitness that is a couple of weeks behind. And hopefully this international would have helped him. But I think he's potentially been called up for Northern Ireland anyway, isn't he? So
yeah, he is.
Maybe some more intensive national training. And if he gets some minutes there, then maybe that will make him a little bit better and bring him up to level. But he's definitely a shell of the player we had with him before. But hopefully it's just a glip, and maybe it's because of COVID and it's hit him and he's not necessarily right back there on fitness yet. But, you know, it'll only get better through the season.
I thought we had a better game, though. I know what you're saying. Like, he's not obviously up to speed. I can kind of go with that a little bit. But I thought, you know, it was more from him there that you can kind of see, like, he's fitting into what we're doing. I think he enjoyed playing in the midfield too as well, and kind of having more share in the middle instead of kind of like venturing left and right. You had kind of had, you know, the whole midfield to kind of reign with Keith De Belt. Obviously, being down to 10 men helped him to have a better game, I suppose, because, you know, we've got more of the ball and we're looking after it.
But is he better on the side, though?
Maybe.
We have three options on the side, because yesterday, the biggest problem we had yesterday, we kept running the balls out the wing and not through the centre. When they were more open in the centre, we could have probably got more balls through the centre and up than we could on the wings, but we just kept going on the wing. And we weren't, you know, we had plenty of players open on one side and we choose the opposite side to run the ball up.
Yeah, that's true. I think, but I know what you're saying. I think it also, like, he is a useful player to have in the middle with Keith and Bell, though. I think Keith and Bell obviously just loves a tackle, doesn't he? And I think...
Yeah, he don't have the legs, does he? He has the legs to take.
So he needs someone next to him to run with it. I think Saville's there to do. He's running a little bit. I think he can be box to box in that sense. And also, like, Saville played well in the midfield too under Harris. Like, I think, you know, he has that kind of... He does well to resettle balls and gets kind of on the front foot a lot for us. But what did you make of Mahoney when he came on yesterday, mate? I thought he came on and obviously showed in sparks what he's about. Some good set piece deliveries as well. And obviously, what the goal obviously led to, you know, him crossed it in, and obviously Jed then put it back in as well for Cooper. I think, you know, he showed a little bit about maybe what he could be there from Hode.
I think the game changed. I think he helped change the game a bit. We looked slightly better, but not great. But we looked slightly better when he came in. But again, that swap should have happened. There's no disrespect to Mitchell, though, because that's who he came on for, wasn't he? He swapped with Mitchell, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mitchell was good yesterday, but I think he just needed to do the swap to move a few players around because he swapped. Didn't he swap Murray and...
Gone.
I can't think now, but he swapped two players around to play different positions.
He put Ballard right back, didn't he? So he put Ballard right back, and he put
Ballard's class, though, isn't he?
Yeah,
Ballard is. Yeah, you know, I mean, being honest, Ballard could probably be in the Arsenal team now because they don't seem to have anyone really like him there. They could probably need him there, but you know they've loaned him out to us, and he's doing us a fucking job at the minute.
I think he's highly regarded in their academy setup, and like obviously he was on loan at Blackpool last season, obviously playing against his old club. But I think, yeah, you're right. Like he also was quite handy at right back. I felt he was getting up and down the pitch, wasn't he? And offering quite a bit down there. I think Mitchell was just a kind of sacrificial lamb. I think in a sense where like he just got booked. I think he was like, well, you know, we need to go for the game now. We've just gone 1-0 down. I think, you know, he hooked him for that kind of reason. I think it wasn't necessarily Stevie's performance.
No, no,
I agree with you. I thought he was all right down the right hand side, although he'd probably get more game time there in the next few weeks, mate, if a certain rumour comes true about Marlon Romeo as well. Linked with Portsmouth, isn't he?
Hopefully.
Well, you told me the other day that he might be going. And, well, you know, Mystic Mickey over there.
I was right, though, brother, didn't it? So, you know, it's... yeah, I think he needs to go. And I'm not going to elaborate on that, but those who know. I just think there's better players for him, and he doesn't look as if he wants to play for us anymore.
I think he needs a fresh challenge, doesn't he? I think he's
kind of a bit like Fred did, a bit like, you know, Lewisham John, etc. They need something else, and I think he'd do all right at Portsmouth.
Well, too. I think the thing is, right, it's like, obviously, it's not going to be a nice ending, unfortunately, if he does go. And obviously, you know, I think the relationship with the fans is kind of a bit up in the air a little bit with Romeo for reasons that we all know about. But, you know, broke into the scene 2016 under Harris. And since then, you know, he was an ever-present in our side at right back. But I think McNamara's just kind of, you know, put him to the sword a little bit. And I think he's kind of shown what he's about at right back that, you know, I think he can't really rival him, I think, there in that position for me.
No, and I think the problem is with Millwall is that if you, in any way, don't start playing for the team how you're meant to, then the fans will turn on you. And, you know, when you do get an opportunity to play in the team after you've lost your position for a while, then that should where you be coming in giving, you know, 200%. But unfortunately, both times he's played so far this season, he looks as if he's only given about 25%. And you know, that's never gonna hold with the Millwall royalty, the Millwall faithful, whichever way you want to call them, mate. We're just not gonna handle that. And it's time to say thank you for everything you've done, but time to jog on. Off you go.
Yeah, it's a bit of a downward trend for him at the minute. You know, I think at the first he broke through and a couple of years ago, mate, at right back in the Championship, like he was class. Like I could see him getting a move to a decent Championship side above us, for example. But now, you know, going to League One, I think that's probably his level in reality now from the way he's been playing his football. But
he's only going on a loan, though, isn't he? It will probably be a loan.
I don't think he'll come back. I think he's probably got a year left on his contract. So I reckon it'll be a case of, you know, he's 25 years old and I think probably, you know, he'll move on. He probably will come back to bite us one day, I'll be honest. Like, but they always do, don't they? Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, moving on from Romeo, obviously, mate. What did you make of the day in general, though? Atmosphere wise, was all right yesterday as well, wasn't it? Obviously, it's got to be right at death. It was okay, wasn't it?
No, I mean, if we go back to our start of the day, we you know, we met down the blue in a pub and. And we went in the pub, and I mean, the pub's all right. It's a bit strange one. They
been done up.
Huh?
All been done up, hasn't it?
Yeah. So people know we've been in the Blue Anchor. The people in there seem to be nice. Not too keen with the old Bill bowling around in there as if they fucking got a free ticket to do whatever they want. And, you know, nothing changes in football. The old Bill seem to think they're fucking special. I mean, it's Blackpool, for fuck's sake. They ain't exactly got a a nasty firm they're bringing down. They're a family club, yet the old Bills seem to be out claiming all their overtime and being busy cunts as they always are. But what can you change it with? You know, we started in the Blue Anger. We had a few beers in there, headed up to the ground, had a few more beers around there. And, yeah, the atmosphere, the people seem to be, you know, up for it. It seemed to be good. The ground seemed to be all right. It wasn't as busy as what maybe it should have been. But I think a lot of people aren't coming because we're playing a boring sort of football at the minute. And there's lots of other shit going on, which maybe we're tipping into, you know, partly of what's come to light this week. But I just think people are not happy with this boring football. And also, you don't want to pay your money to watch that sort of football, really, do you? You know, you're going to pick and choose what games you go to. I know season ticket holders, you get no choice. You'll go or you won't go because you've already paid up. But a lot of people are paying a day and stuff, and there is an awful lot of that. I think they're pick and choose the games they want. I think away games will be a lot more busier this year. You know, certain games like Wolves, I could see being quite a big one. Cardiff has always been a tricky one, really, because the traffic's bullshit. It's always a pain in the arse getting to Cardiff. It always takes you fucking missions. But we took 700 there. I could see us probably taking 1,000, maybe more, to West Brom.
It's normally good away, though, West Brom as well. That it's normally enjoyable. I've been a couple of times since. It's always a good laugh. And yeah, you're right, away, and we normally pack it out, don't we, though?
Yeah. And I just think, you know, I think the day was good after the game and all that, a few more beers, all of this. But no, I just think we won it by luck more than anything. And I know in football, you win games by, you know, the slightest bit of luck now and then. But I just think that we can't be going through the whole season like that. We've got to actually change what we're doing and play slightly better. I still think we need some new players.
I think we'll get rid of more, right?
Yeah, if we can get rid of Romeo, get rid of Bod, maybe get rid of Thompson, and then bring in a creative midfielder and possibly a striker, even though this week he was saying that he was looking for another defender. But I think if we can do that, then I think we're possibly on the right level.
Yeah, I think we're a couple of players short. I agree with you. I think also if we move Romeo, like you're saying, you know, maybe, you know, I can free up some wages to bring someone else in. Do you think we'll replace him at right back, or do you think maybe Mitchell will be like the second option there? Or I don't know, what's he got? Is his tack going to be? Maybe we get a right back in? Or
yeah, no, I think Danny Mac and Mitchell will be take that position, or possibly move a couple of others what can possibly cope with it. But yeah, I don't think we replace it. I think we need he probably might do, but I think we need an attacking creative midfielder and a proven goal scorer. But then again, a Afobe is a proven goal scorer to a degree if he's given the ball or he can get it up there to score. I don't know, mate. He's one of them, isn't he? It's the Millwall of all, isn't it? I mean, I don't think we should judge it. Same as, you know, I've had talks with other bods I know are Arsenal saying, look, you know, I don't think you should be judging your team yet until they're probably 10, 12 games in. Saying that, I did look at the Premiership. I was looking at the table today for Millwall and did have a look at the Premiership. And fuck me, I couldn't believe it. Arsenal sitting bottom of the league and scumbags across the river are fucking sitting top of the league. And you just think, fucking hell. I'd never have thought in my lifetime I would see, you know, that. But you know what? I am more than happy for Arsenal to carry on playing the shit football they are and they to come down because, one, they've never been relegated, and two, getting Arsenal at the Den would be fucking superb. And having them in the Championship for a season or two would be absolutely superb. And I think it would just send poor old Robbie on AFTV into fucking meltdown.
I don't think it'd ever happen, but you never know. I think they were
hoped it last year when West Ham were in the same position this sort of time, and it never happened. So,
but obviously, after five games now, mate, we are 17th place. I know you're saying about the league table, it's hard to read into it until 10, 12 games, like I always say as well. But it's not been the best of starts. So when we would kind of conclude on it, is it? I think, you know, five games in, if you said to me that we'd have had only one win, I probably would have thought we'd at least have a couple. And yeah, we've been competitive in the games. Obviously, Cardiff was unfortunate, and I think that was kind of an exception. Fulham were a class above us. But as a whole, I think Wright's got to look back on that and think, right, things have got to change, ain't they, going into the next few games after the international break, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. And at home, we've got to either go to 4-4-2 or we've got to go more on a on an attacking style of football. Whether that's, you know, the 4-4-2 style or we're going, you know, 3-3-2, whatever, fucking 3-4-2 or whatever, we need to look at doing something.
3-4-2.
You know, don't add up. I know that. I added that up, so don't panic. But you know what I mean? Like, you know, we need to look at something where we're going. We can't be playing the lone striker up top. We've got to be playing two up there with possibly Saville or someone sitting just behind the two strikers to give them the extra ammunition if they need it and start running at teams. Because at the moment, us sitting back is just allowing people to come on. Look at Blackburn yesterday, mate. Do you know what I mean? They had 10 men and they were sitting there as comfortable as fucking sitting in the garden drinking tea, mate. Like, they would just kept coming to us and going. It's luckily enough that they didn't have the skill possibly on the counter-attack to come right up, but they only needed to get one of those balls over and we'd have been fucked.
We don't have the ability, bless you, by the way, we don't have the ability to break a play the teams down. That's the problem. Like, I think we've got the players as well, though. It's just obviously the style of play that we've got is, you know, is get it to the Jed, basically, and see what he can do with it. And without him, I'd hate to think where we'd be right now this season.
On Kai's match vlog, we really need, you know, 11 or at least 10 Jed Wallaces to basically give the team that fight and passion what it needs. And I think Ray sat there in a week, didn't even lose it then, and said, you know, he told Morris and he told Murray and Jed that he's just going to go sign someone else called Wallace. as long as it ain't Greg Wallace, then we'll be all right.
Greg Wallace, he's a Mill fan, isn't he?
He's a big Millwall fan.
He's got a lion tail on his stomach. Yeah, but actually, yeah, I think, as I said, mate, it is kind of paper over the cracks yesterday, I feel like. And the five games in, the jury's out, I think, a little bit on the manager. Rightly or wrongly, it is the case. And I think it's going to be a tough, obviously, you know, West Brom's going to be a tough game coming up. And, you know, they're flying at the top of the league. I think they've won 4, drawn 1. A bit like Fulham, I think they're kind of a step above us a little bit there. And we just got to be competitive in them games, I think. And like the style of play we have in games like against Blackpool, it will probably suit us against West Brom. You know, we've just got to compete and stay in the game. But we, especially games like Blackpool at home when they're down to 10 men, we just need to have a different tact or different something to go for. Because without Jed's free kick yesterday, we probably wouldn't have scored, I don't think. And I know, obviously, we got the goal towards the end, but I think we could have been playing for a couple of hours in open play and we'd never score a goal, I don't think. And that's the problem. And I think it's just got to be addressed, hasn't it, mate? You're on mute, by the way.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think that's... we'll ignore that bit. I think you're right. And I think that's the problem we've got is that we have got people who can score because they've proven they can score, but sometimes it needs to be handed to them on a plate. On that, I'm not taking it away from Jed. That was a class free kick. That was, you know, as good as anyone. And it was quite weird because we were talking about free kicks yesterday as well, weren't we, with Roberto Carlos, one what seemed to have been doing the rounds this week with the proper bend and the turl. And again, you know, he managed to get that up and down and curled in on quite a short angle. And the way that these teams defend these free kicks now, he got a stroke of luck there.
He's a real talisman, isn't he? I think he's dead ball delivery. Like, I think, you know, he's gotten so much better. They showed the goal against Blackpool like 5 years ago, whatever it was. Yeah. Wasn't the greatest of free kicks, but you compare it to his free kicks now, mate. He's different gravy with them, ain't he? And I think I even called it yesterday to you that he's going to score a goal there, didn't I? I was like, it's going to be 1-1 here. But then again, I'll say every time he's got a free kick. So, like, if you keep saying
shut up. Do you know what I mean? It's going to score this. Yeah, in it goes. It went in. It's just a shame that you don't know football that well. You pretend you do on these shows. You look at a News at Den Prediction League, I am quite a few positions above Omar. It's a sore subject for Omar. So if you want to go on the News at Den website, obviously we're sponsoring a prize there for second place, but it looks fairly safe that Omar won't be winning that for any love nor money.
It's a long season, mate, all right? It's a long season.
It is a long season. At the moment, mate, I'm above you, so that gives me the right to say you're losing in a minute, mate.
Yeah, I am, pal.
And the
I
fact am. Is, thank fuck, Kaye ain't here today. He's got other things. He's busy. That he's beating fucking both of us.
I know. He's like top 10, ain't he? He's like, he's flying at the top up there. So, hey, good fun, though. It's always like, you know, like I said, we're enjoying doing that sort of stuff anyway. And I hope people enjoy watching the content too. So, yeah.
It's all fun, isn't it? It's all fun. I think we've got difficult games ahead now. I think it's starting to move into some big games we've got coming up. West Brom is definitely going to be a non-easy game. And hopefully we take enough people out there to become the 12th man. And hopefully we just play some proper football. Well, we are capable of playing. It's as if Rarick just doesn't trust the team enough. But as I said, it could be that he knows the team a lot better than us. And the problem being is that a lot of the team isn't fully fit yet. Possibly because there was, you know, there seems to be going for all teams at the minute, COVID outbreaks and everything else. And also we don't know what the long-term effects of once you've had COVID for a professional athlete, which none of us are. But I just, you know, that I think there's a lot of stuff there. But at the moment, the football is fairly boring to watch. It's not the normal standard what we expect as Millwall fans. And hopefully it will change soon for the better. And then we start moving up the league. But I've not thrown my cards in yet and going, oh, fucking hell, we're going to relegate or fucking hell, rat out. I think it is what it is. And the last two seasons, we made late moves. So we'll have a go for that.
I think, yeah, we just need to get a bit of momentum going. Hopefully, you know, it's a shame we got this win then, and obviously we've got a break now. But I think also at the same time, we need the break to kind of work on things at the training ground. Only three players were on international duty. So hopefully, you know, some time off, then obviously we can get into it and hopefully we can crack on, mate. So I think I've run my course, mate. I'll tell you what, I'm hungover. I'm glad I've done this show today, but I've run my course here, I think.
We'll end part one here. We'll come back part two. I've got a couple of points to make on part two, just briefly, and then we'll see it. So look, join us back after this. We'll see you in a bit.
And welcome to part two. Mickey, you've got some points to make.
Just a couple of things. I mean, first one first is obviously there was a, if you don't know about it, you listen to this, you're not really on it. If you look on Mill Online, or you look on Hoff, two forums, there was a meeting this week with a set of fans who went to the club talking about the knee and the booing, and the club were putting their point across that it's affecting them and all that. We're not going to get into the bins and out. We haven't done for the last year and a half. So all I'm saying to you is, look, if you want to read up about it, you want to get involved in the debate, what's currently going on online, it's either on Mill Online or on Hoff. You just need to search House of Fun Millwall or Mill Online, get yourself onto those groups and have a look and join the debate there. If we do get involved in this, it will be as a separate show, not on one of these, because a bit like football, we don't really want to put politics into our shows at all. It's individual choices and whatnot. So move that aside. Let's step forward. Well done to Millwall Berserkers yesterday as well. We had a memorial in Bermondsey, what was firebombed this week. And always the Millwall fans stepped up to the plate and brought some wreaths. The memorial got cleaned up and they'd done a full service for it yesterday before the game, about 10:30 on Saturday morning. So hats off to them. You know who you are. I'm not going to name check you. I haven't checked if I can name check you, and I don't see the point of. You know who you are. Other people know who you are. Well done. Round of applause. And the person organising it, your kids putting the wreaths down, done us all proud. And thank you very much for that. And remember, we never forget the fallen. Whatever the circumstances, we will always remember them and never forget them. So, yeah, thanks for that. Much appreciated for doing that on behalf of the Millwall fans up and down the country and around the world. So thank you for that. The last point, really moving on, was there was an interesting point. I don't know if you saw it, Omar, from the Barnsley CEO.
No, I didn't see it. Go on.
And he posted this. He said, we really need players who want to play for Barnsley, who want to be at the club. And during the process this summer of looking to strengthen our club, we've really had some interesting situations. We reached agreements with three different Premier League clubs for three players we felt would be ideal for us in terms of their talent. One of these players told us we'd need to pay him 40% more to play for Barnsley. There was a short conversation. The second one basically told us he didn't agree with our style of play and that we'd need to change that if he was to come to us. Again, a very short conversation. The third one is the funniest one. We had a signed transfer agreement. We agreed personal terms. We'd done the medical and the player was scheduled to do his media pieces before signing the contract. And then the player drove away. We were like, where did he go? And he just left the club. And I think that just sums up really how fucking hard it is to sign a player. You've signed him. You've done the medical. You've pre-scheduled all the media stuff for him. The fucker gets in his... I'm going to use the alleged... because most football players do allegedly drive Range Rovers. And he jumped in his Range Rover and he just fucked off.
Change of heart.
That's harsh. And, you know, maybe transfers to get hold of players are that difficult. I'd love to get someone on. If you're listening from the club, I'd love to get someone on possibly or someone who knows. We've got possibly a couple of ideas. Someone who knows about transfers just to let us know maybe in future months or so to do, you know, come on and talk to us about it. But it'd be interesting to see about transfers, how hard they are. I know we spoke about it before, but that to me, it's not our club, it's Barnsley. But three players have three different answers and just showed us how far up the road are some of these players are and also how arrogant and fucking obnoxious they are just to drive away with, you know, no reasoning, no explanation, no nothing. Again, this is all hearsay. It's allegedly what happened. We don't have two sides of the story. We just have one side. But I just thought it was an interesting point maybe to end the show on and just say sometimes we might not know the full story on what goes on. But hey-ho, it is what it is. So check out the website. Follow us on social. Get in touch. Leave a comment if you're watching on YouTube. Leave a comment on your podcast provider if you're listening to this on your podcast. We produce shows twice weekly. We bring it out on Sunday at midnight and we bring another one out on Wednesday at midnight. If you've got a view, you want something covered on the show, get in touch. You can email us either Mickey or Omar at thatmillpodcast.com and it's as simple as that. And remember, we are only doing this where we are because of you guys listening. So much appreciated. And I think that is it. Omar's going to go back to bed and chill out before a family engagement this afternoon and relax and chill. And I'm going to go and take the fucking beast for a walk who amazingly hasn't barked during this podcast this week.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for watching, like Mickey said. And yeah, I'm going to bed. See you later.
That's it from us. And see you next week. Or see you Thursday. Have a good week. See you then. International break.